Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, that theme has introduced generations of fans to the golden age of radio now for 50 years. Those Were the Days was started back in 1970 by Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden, who also helped launch the radio careers of Dean Richards and Carl Amari. You can blame Chuck for that. And he now, who also hosts WGN Radio Theater Saturday nights on WGN. Steve Darnall took over for Chuck 11 years ago and is also the editor-in-chief of Nostalgia Digest magazine. And these two fine gentlemen join us tonight. Chuck, you know, 50 years of Those Were the Days, and I heard the broadcast on Saturday. I loved listening to the two of you. I think, you know, at a time where we're all sequestered in our homes, we needed some comfort food. You'd retired after 39 years in tribute to comedy legend Jack Benny. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think today, 50 years later, almost to the day, we would still be talking about this show?
No. No, whoever thought. I was lucky enough to have a 1-year commitment from a client and a general agreement from the radio station, and I thought if I could make that 1 year, I'd be a happy camper. And you don't look ahead that far. Nobody thinks they're going to be on radio for 50 years. Well, I wasn't, really.
Yeah.
But here I am, still going strong.
Here you are. Yeah. First, tell us about that journey with your love of classic radio. I love this story, like how you got into it, and how did that all start for you?
I was a collector. I missed the radio days when I left radio for television as a listener and sure. Then a viewer. But I kind of missed those radio days because I couldn't use my imagination anymore. All I had as an imagination was the imagination of somebody who was putting pictures on a television screen. And so I just lamented the fact that there were no radio programs around anymore that I could remember. But then I discovered there were some of those around, and some people had some copies of them, and I became a collector of radio shows. And I couldn't tell you exactly how I found other people who had shows that they were collecting and wanted to share their collections as I did. But eventually I started gathering some of the radio shows, and I was so thrilled to be able to have a reel-to-reel tape of a Jack Benny program or a Lux Radio Theater, or one of the very first radio shows that I ever collected was Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast. And I thought I had died and gone to radio heaven at that time when I had, you know, a dozen reels of radio shows. But as soon it snowballed, and I had people coming over to my house listening on a Saturday night, and we were watching each other eat potato chips and have something to drink and listening to the radio shows. Well, that's not the way to do it. I mean, it's a nice way to do it, but it's not the way to listen to radio. And everybody used to say, it's too bad these things are not on the air anymore. And I came around to the same idea that maybe they should be on the radio again. And so I started investigating the possibilities, and I found a radio station in Evanston that said it might be possible to do this if you can produce the show, which meant to them, find a sponsor
sure.
to pay for the time, and then you can do the show. Well, as a hobbyist, that was the end of a dream. I thought, wonderful, I could do this. If I could, I'm happy to share my shows. I'm just a collector. But we went on the air, and it was nice that people started responding to the program, and as it went along, more and more people were coming on board, and I soon came to realize that I might be able to carry this a little beyond this 1 year time.
Yeah.
In fact, at the end of 6 months, I went to the original underwriter, the original sponsor, which was a financial institution. Remember Northwest Federal Savings?
Oh yeah.
they were the one who sponsored for it. They signed me up for a year, or I signed them up for a year. And at the end of 6 months, I thought, this maybe have some extra possibilities. I wonder if I'm going to have to look for a new sponsor at the end of a year. And I went to talk to the people at Northwest at the six-month mark, and I said, I know this is a little early, but do you think that you might be willing to go on beyond the first year, beyond the year? And they said, Chuck, you know, we diverted some money from billboards that we had around on the northwest side of Chicago because all we wanted to do was to keep our name in front of the public. But we never had anybody come in here and tell us how much they liked our billboards, but they told us how much they liked the radio show.
Wow.
You want to go beyond? We go for another year after the first year.
That's great. And that's very much of a flashback to the old days of radio, because, I mean, it was all about the sponsors back then, right?
Sure.
The sponsor's name led the name of the program. It was you know, Lux or whatever presents whatever the show was. I mean, that was critical.
But this was never the Northwest Federals. Those were the days. This was were the days.
Yeah, right.
That was
right.
The name of the show. Yeah.
You were mentioned collecting all the stuff. Your collection, you know, ended up being 50,000 programs. Steve, when Chuck talks about what he collected them on, I mean, he talked about reel-to-reels, but there was a lot of transcription discs out there. Explain to folks what a transcription disc is.
Well, a transcription disc was a recording that was made at the time of broadcast. A transcription disc, it's sort of like an LP record.
Right,
now,
a little bigger.
An LP record is, that's even before most of our listeners' time
now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, it's a 16-inch disc that was recorded off the air. And typically these were done for a couple of reasons. One was for the benefit of the star or the sponsor to have a record of the show they'd produced. And then during the war years and beyond, it became a way to preserve the show so that it could be sent out overseas via the Armed Forces Radio Service, minus the show's commercials. And then over time, with a lot of shows, with syndicated shows in particular, it became a way for people to pre-record shows that they could then send out to radio stations across the country.
Gotcha. And these discs, and Chuck, you know more than anybody, as going after these back in the 60s and 70s, I mean, they're rare. I mean, to find these things, you really had to dig and really find those people that still had them sitting around somewhere, or the stations themselves.
Oh, yeah, and it was very rare to do that. And the thing about it was, we found that sometimes they were in the hands of people who were broadcast engineers for various radio stations, and they liked the program on which they were working, and they kept a disc. Or there were people in the military who somehow were assigned to Armed Forces Radio Service stations, and they, shall we say, liberated some of those discs after the war.
Yeah.
And they would turn up in basements or in attics. And once we were on the air and doing this program and becoming a part of a large group of collectors, people would come to you and say, well, you know, I think my father has some of these discs in the station. I don't know what they are, but would you be interested? And oh, we always were interested.
Wow.
And sometimes it would just sit, there would be an Armed Forces disc that simply said Burns and Allen on it. And it didn't give any date or anything about the show. It just said Burns and Allen number 42, which was the Armed Forces designation for it. And it wasn't until many years later when the collectors started really going into depth with all of these programs they were collecting and came up with logs of radio shows and assigned broadcast dates. They didn't assign an arbitrary broadcast date. They did research and they checked out newspaper listings and all kinds of other things and came up with the actual date of, for example,
wow.
that Burns and Allen show.
Wow, that's amazing. We're talking to Chuck Shaden. We're talking to Steve Darnell of Those Were the Days, celebrating 50 years of their radio program, and also Nostalgia Digest magazine, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. Chuck, you also talked. You were probably the tail end of those voices on radio. You interviewed so many of them in the 70s and 80s while they were still with us, of course, and one of the first ones you did, the interviews that you did, was with Jack Benny himself. And when you think of classic radio and so forth, I mean, there's no name at the top other than Jack.
Jack was always at the top of the list, the highest rated, most regularly on all the radio days. He started, you know, in 1933 and went continued on all the way till the end of, I think, his last regular new program was in 55. And then he made a transition to television. But Jack Benny, his programs then and now are well received by the public. We always love to listen to Jack Benny.
They're timeless. I mean, right? And Steve, they're timeless. When you listen to them today, I mean, there's some radio shows, as you both know, you know, they could be a little dated just by the content or the family life or what's going on. But Steve, you know as well as I do, I mean, Jack has never really ever been outdated in any way.
No, Jack Benny was really then and now the gold standard for radio comedy. I've always been impressed by his ability to inhabit the character that he played for so many years on radio, that of the perennial cheapskate who insisted for years he was 39 and mangled the violin.
Right.
And the fact that, as set as that character was, he and his writers found so many ways to play with those traits in such a way that the show was always fresh and amusing, you know, and I can't think of too many performers or too many shows that can do that, try as they might, and as good as they might be.
Chuck, when you spoke to him, I mean, first of all, Jack is from the Chicagoland area. He's from Waukegan, but that must
yes.
Would you say out of all the interviews you did, and by the way, Chuck has a website called speakingofradio.com that has a lot of his interviews on there, and then at nostalgiadigest.com you can still purchase a lot of these interviews on CD. Would you say that was, out of everyone you've spoken to over the years, like that was the ultimate interview?
I would say that it was the most famous of the radio people that I ever interviewed. And I did that within 3 months or so of my first broadcast. Happened to be your peer in Chicago, and I went over and sat with him in the afternoon of his first stage appearance at the Mill Run Theater in suburban Niles.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a real nice conversation, and I was nervous to talk with him, but I was happy to do that. And he was the most famous. And over the years, speaking to more than 200 different people from the radio days, and incidentally, David, I was so lucky to be there at the right time to get these conversations with all of those people, because they were still remembering the radio days. They were past them. Some of them had continued to work into television, some in movies, some were retired, but they all had good, vivid memories of that time from the 70s through most of the 80s. I could do that. And now, sad to say, they're almost all gone, but they live at speakingofradio.com. We have all of those interviews there.
We're talking to Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden and current Those Were the Days host Steve Darnall, and we'll talk about the newest edition of Nostalgia Digest magazine next on 720 WGN. State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden and Steve Darnall, editor-in-chief of Nostalgia Digest magazine. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of radio program Those Were the Days. Chuck, when you began to grow your empire, which is really what it was back in the day, you started Nostalgia Digest magazine, which was a great companion to the show.
Yeah, well, it was very nice. It started out as a little program guide. We said, if you'll send in a box top, we'll put you on our mailing list and send you a listing of what programs we're going to play on Saturday afternoons. And, we had a great response to that, and the box tops came flying into the mail like in the old days, you know. That's what it was. It was a freebie that we sent out. We had so many people signing up for it that eventually we said, gee, what if we made this into a newsletter of sorts? and put some articles in there and other information, would anybody be willing to spend a couple of dollars for a subscription to this? And we found that there was a great bunch of people out there who were very happy to do that. And eventually our nostalgia newsletter became much more than a newsletter. It became a little magazine and became the Nostalgia Digest. And one of the great contributing writers to our Nostalgia Digest was a young man by the name of Steve Darnall, who, when I started feeling that I wanted to start taking my earliest steps to retirement, I said, "Steve, you've been writing for the Digest for a little while. How would you like to take over this little baby here?" And that's he said, "What did you say, Steve?"
I think ultimately I said, if I say no and someone else takes it over and I don't like what they've done, I'm going to be mad the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's great.
I felt, I mean, the fact was Chuck helped make it a really easy decision because he'd done so much to establish what Nostalgia Digest was about in the obvious respects, of course, but also because he'd always made it clear from the articles he published that nostalgia to him was a very broad umbrella under which a lot of things could fit. And I thought, well, if you've got that much room to play around, then yeah, why not? And the other thing he said, which I always appreciated, was, "I've published this for 30 years, and it's never been marketed." And I thought, well, good for you, first of all.
Yeah.
And second, that meant that anything I did that might be an attempt to reach a new audience would be a new experience for both for me and for the magazine. So I was really glad to know, because then we started working with distributors so we could go into stores. And even in the days prior to the pandemic, we were in about 400 or 500 stores, probably fewer right at this very moment. But fact is that Chuck did so much to make my taking over the publication an easy decision, and it has been an absolute dream job. I always liken it to having a job where you lay baseball cards out on the floor so you can make a team.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it's totally true. I've told you guys both of this a bunch of times. Like when there's not much in the mail I get excited about. When I see that magazine, I know I can pour myself a little cocktail and sit back and relax and enjoy it at my leisure later in the evening or whatever it might be. And this edition of Nostalgia Digest is all focused on the 50th anniversary of Those Were the Days. Tell us what else is in the issue this time around, Steve.
Sure. The spring issue of the Nostalgia Digest has, as you say, a cover story by Chuck Shaden about Those Were the Days and its 50th anniversary. There's our necrology for 2019, where we run through the list of folks from show business who left us last year. There are articles about Raymond Burr and Gene Arthur and John Daly, the radio newscaster who went on to host What's My Line on television. And, of course, the schedule for our radio show, Those Were the Days.
Now, as you said, stores are closed right now, so there's a great way to get them, and there's always a crossover deal with WGN Radio and the WGN Radio Theater that Carl hosts on Saturday nights. Tell folks how they can get it, because you can get a one-year subscription or a two-year subscription. It's always got great stories, and they're so diverse in different eras of time, and they're just fascinating. Tell people how they can get it.
Absolutely. The easiest way is to visit nostalgiadigest.com. If you are not internet connected, you can always call our offices at 773-769-6575. And yes, you mentioned the special crossover deal with the radio theater, and it's this. You know, Carl Amari, who's on your station, of course, with the radio theater on Saturday night, produced these Twilight Zone radio dramas years ago and put them on CD. And we have sets of the Twilight Zone radio shows on CD, and we will send one to anyone who orders a two-year subscription to the Digest and, in the course of doing so, mentions WGN. So you'll get the 2 years of Nostalgia Digest, 8 issues for $30, and the set of Twilight Zone radio shows on CD if you buy a 2-year subscription and mention WGN.
There you go. There you have it. I was telling Chuck, and I've told Chuck this story, and I know I've told this to you too. Some years ago, my late uncle, you know, knew I loved old-time radio, and so did he, and was a big fan of Chuck's and now yours for the last how many years. And he
been
brought
11. Do you believe that?
Yeah, it's been 11 already. I know. And he brought over a box, a gift for me at a Christmas party. And he said, I wanted you to have this. And it was this collection of all of his Nostalgia Digest magazines. It was every single one of them. And as I said to Chuck, you know, nostalgia doesn't really change. You know, the memories are still the same. History is history. So they're fascinating to read all the way back. And some of these, and he said to me, I'm an avid listener. I love listening to Steve. I really miss Chuck. Haven't heard his voice in a long time. And I said, he's right behind you. And I introduced my uncle. As I said, he passed away a couple years ago to Chuck, and him and Chuck talked for a while. And then I introduced him to Steve in the room. I tell you, it was the night of his life, because after listening every Saturday afternoon, whether he said, I'd be in the backyard doing gardening, I'd be doing this, I'd be doing that. It was always appointment listening. And I think that show does that for so many, and the hundreds of thousands, millions, whatever it might be, over 50 years that have listened to the program really do appreciate. And again, the accompaniment of Nostalgia Digest magazine can't be beat. And I congratulate both of you. Chuck, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Steve. Dave.
And Steve, you know, congrats to you, because you are certainly doing a phenomenal job carrying that torch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thanks to Chuck, of course, for starting this whole enterprise, and not to downplay what Chuck did, because it was tremendously important. But I think we'll both agree that the radio shows ultimately do most of the work for us.
That's right. True. That's true. You know, if those shows weren't good in the first place, they wouldn't be good today. So that's the key to it. It was an era that was special. And it was an era that required your imagination and participation. And I'm proud to have added a few extra years to the life of the Golden Age of Radio.
Absolutely. Well, and for more on Nostalgia Digest and a subscription, you can visit NostalgiaDigest.com. And to hear some of Chuck's classic interviews, and they are spectacular, you can visit SpeakingOfRadio.com. Gentlemen, thanks again. And again, congrats on 50 great years. And I hope when this is all over, we can get together for, Chuck, for ice cream, obviously. We're not getting together for anything else. If you know Chuck Shaden, it's all he cares about is the banana split and the hot fudge sundae. And he gets them in the best places around town. Thanks again for your friendship, guys, and congratulations.
Thank you, Dave, and be sure to invite us to your 50th anniversary, too, in radio.
That might be okay. We'll see what we can do there. All right, guys. All right, we'll talk.
Thanks so much, David. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, we'll talk a little history next on 720 WGN.